that agua. What's good, everybody? Welcome to 808s and Ankle Breaks, episode 17. I'm your host, Jonathan Kerma, entertainment editor of the Amherst Wire, as well as Moogatoon's editorial intern. Today, our other host, Trevor Wilson, isn't with us, but he'll be back next week. So I have two special guests today. First, we have rapper. What other titles do you want?
Producer.
Rapper, producer, the homie Pro Pufong, also known as Reaper. And then to his right, which obviously you can't see, but is the homie OCL Oriana. Did I say that right?
Yeah, you said that right.
He's to my left.
Bro, it doesn't matter. But today we're going to be talking about Astroworld. We're going to be ranking the 17 tracks from the album. We'll also be talking about LeBron James and Donald Trump's beef, as well as J. Cole's music video for freestyle album of the year. So, let's get into things, guys. How are you guys doing?
I'm good.
Pretty good.
Chilling. It's August. It's getting towards the end of the summer.
That's what I'm saying, bro. I'm ready to be back on campus. Yeah, I don't know about you.
Slowing down here.
But let's get started with the J. Cole video. Album of the Year Freestyle. What beat did he use on this? I actually forgot. Do you guys know?
I don't know exactly what beat. I think I saw something that it was sampled from Nas.
Yeah.
It was sampled like from an older Nas beat.
Okay. Well, this freestyle, I guess we'll start with, what are you guys' initial thoughts on it?
It sounded good, I mean, but like thematically, like him saying album of the year or something like that, like, I mean, like, I get that he's J. Cole, and like, when you think of like top lyricists and top rappers, like in 2018, like, he is up there, but like, I don't know, I don't think of it's I don't consider album of the year enough for him to be already like spitting like that and saying that.
Yeah, I was definitely, one of the next questions I was going to have is, if is KOD album of the year or not? But, so we'll get to that, but yeah. What'd you think of the video, Pro?
Well, as far as the actual verses, like I thought he went really hard. I pretty much enjoyed that verse better than anything I heard on KOD personally. So yeah. It was good to see that like he was going really hard on it.
Yeah, I think he, without like having a message, he can just kind of free flow, and his flow was very impressive on that, in my opinion. I thought lyrically, like, there were some spots, like the line about Asian stereotypes, yeah. Where, you know, Asian being good at math, I was like, I guess that's a good bar, I guess. But overall, solid. My next question is KOD album of the year? What do you guys think?
I think it was a solid project for him, and I think the sound, you know, fit well in 2018.
Right.
You know, he's definitely changing. He's definitely growing. But I haven't gone back to listen to that album, like, really since, like, the month after it came out.
I don't think it has much replay value.
No, it's not that exciting. Like, it's a good album to listen all the way through. And, like, I definitely enjoyed my time with it. But it wasn't very memorable or impactful for me.
Right.
The playoffs ruined the album for me. The NBA playoffs.
Big facts.
Yeah, the NBA is always going to play J. Cole, you know.
It made no sense. Like, of all the music you could choose, like, that album was not meant for NBA playoffs. Like,
yeah, no.
They were using the song Brackets. Like, a song about taxes. You're really using that in the NBA playoffs? Like, come on.
It's because J. Cole's a good guy. He's an activist. He's no face tattoos.
Yeah.
You know.
What does that have to do with getting buckets? And
true, like, but like for no, them, but like, you think 6ix9ine like, is going to be the playoff anthem? Probably not.
Like for a big-ass organization like the NBA that has such a like diverse fan base, like obviously like most of like their music, they're going to try to use hip-hop and like...
They should have got Ray Shrum.
Clean, safe hip-hop. It's Kendrick or J. Cole.
Like, yeah, Ray Shrum would have been lit.
That's what I'm saying.
Would have been absolutely lit. But Pro, do you think KOD is album of the year?
I don't think it's album of the year. I mean, Cole's never going to put out a trash album. He's too good of a lyricist. He's too good at like just composing when it comes to just making music.
Yeah.
But like LCL said, it just didn't have that replay value for me. And it wasn't as exciting. I need more exciting music, personally.
Right. So do you think, with this freestyle being titled album of the year, do you think it takes away from the freestyle?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it kind of just comes off as, like, a little bit, like, cocky, a little confident.
Yeah.
And J. Cole's not really, I mean, he is that guy, but he's not really that guy, like, that. Yeah. Consider like that. I could see Kanye doing that.
Right.
I don't think it takes away from it, because, I don't know, you're supposed to have that attitude, like, yeah.
True. Like every rapper should come with the mentality that you're the best. Same with basketball players, football players, anything like that you're doing. You want to come with the mentality of I'm the best. I got the best podcast out. But at the same time, for me, it's just like when I saw the title, I immediately was like, okay.
Yeah.
It's a very good freestyle, but I naturally am just going to like scoff at it. Just
I'm just going to slide it under the rug. You know?
Right. So one of his lines actually in the freestyle, let me pull it up. I don't want to misquote him. He started talking smack to the little whatevers again. And his line was, you know, get a book, pick that shit up, expand your vocab. So this is really kind of like the third occasion he's done this.
Are you sure that's at the Lil's though?
He said, "Lil rappers, I love you, but you ain't shit till you got offers in Prague." And then he said,
"Yeah." So he attacked them on Everybody Dies. He attacked them on 1985 freestyle, and now this. So do you think this is getting kind of old? That he keeps on attacking this newer generation of rappers?
I don't think it's gotten old yet, but it's not as like important or relevant as like when he first said it the first time. Now he's just kind of repeating himself.
Right. Bro?
I mean, I think it's kind of old just in the whole thing in general, the beef between the old and the new generation. It's kind of, I think it's outplayed at this point.
Well, that's hip-hop. That's just how it is. Like, that cycle has been here since like the 80s. Like every time a new generation is going to come, the old heads are going to be like, that's not real hip hop. And then eventually, like this generation in 5 years, Lil Yachty's going to be talking about how someone else is in hip hop.
Yeah.
Like Lil Yachty already was talking about in his album about how him, Cardi, and like Uzi, like they pretty much started this generation. So it's going to continue like that. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, I don't have an issue with J. Cole doing that just because, like, you got to come at the competition.
And he's coming from a respected guy.
Yeah, and the way he does it is always respectful. Like, it's kind of just good advice. Like, you guys should read books and get your vocabulary up. Like, it's not really offensive, but at the same time...
But they're not even trying to be, like, lyrical.
That's what I was going to say. Like, they're not really his competition.
Yeah.
Like, for him to attack them, it's like you're kind of punching down. Like, those guys, they're not really trying to make music that you're trying to make. They're not trying to make albums that are, you know, cohesive and have, like, a message behind them. They're trying to make music to party to and get their checks. So, I don't know. That's just my opinion. But according to, I forgot where I found it. I saw it on Hot New Hip Hop. But J. Cole will be dropping a mixtape the off season before he drops his next album, The Fall Off. On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you guys for this mixtape?
Six. I'm being honest.
Bro?
If I'm being honest, maybe like a 2.
You're not excited at all?
Not really. I just don't...
It's coming out too J. Cole, soon after like KOD for me, I'm thinking.
The reason I'm excited is because I feel like with it being a mixtape, I'm thinking maybe he's, instead of trying to, you know, have these messages behind it, he's just going to spit like he did in this, and he's just going to snatch a bunch of old beats like Lil Wayne would do on... what's it called? Dedication. Yeah, the Dedication
With that, you're changing my mind then. Because like I said, I like that freestyle more than any song on KOD.
Like, like imagine J. Cole just taking a trap beat. Imagine him taking, I don't know, Plug Walk.
Yeah.
I don't know if he actually would do that, but like imagine, like what would that sound like? That's why I'm more excited about that than The Fall Off.
Yeah.
Just in that regard. But that's enough J. Cole talk. We'll move on to Astroworld.
Let's do it.
So last Friday... August 3rd. Yep, on August 3rd, Travis Scott finally dropped the long-awaited Astroworld. So we're gonna go over that, and instead of doing, you know, just our thoughts and opinions on it, I thought it would be a good idea to rank all the songs in the album, just because there's 17 of them.
Yeah,
albums are always long these days, but with Travis, with there being so many features on the project, it feels like the 17 songs, it's worth it. You know what I mean? So we're gonna just rank them, and then we'll give our overall thoughts after that. So, who would like to go first for their number 17?
I kind of peeked at Pro's list earlier, so I'm going to start off because we got the same one for 17. I put who what for 17.
We all have who what for number 17.
Do we? Wow.
Like, Quavo, Takeoff, Migos, like, their sound's already so saturated, and mixing with Travis Scott, like, I listened to that song the first time. It sounded awesome. I'm probably not going to be listening to it much more after that.
Yeah, it sounds like Butterfly Effect, and you added Quavo and Takeoff. Yeah. That's what it was. And they only had like 40 seconds combined. Yeah. Like, there was no point of them even really
being on the track. No, but I think they had ad-libs all over the track.
Yeah, they did. I agree. They did have ad-libs. But at the same time, nothing about this song really stuck out to me. How about you, bro? You have any thoughts?
That's how I felt. It was just, there's no bad song on this album. I was just saying that first. But it's just kind of... Compared to everything else, it was
it's kind of boring. Background.
Right. 16, I had Butterfly Effect. What did you guys have?
I had NC-17.
What?
I put NC-17 there because, I mean, the beat's awesome. Travis sounds different, but, like, it's so cringy, like, that hook. Like, me and my...
But that's just... That's
sex. Yo. Whenever that pulls up on my speaker, I feel so awkward.
OCL, I was not, you could have said any other song.
And 21's verse sounded dope that first time, but I go back to listen to it, I'm like, man, this is just like any other 21 verse that you're gonna hear on, like, Gucci, Migos, or...
Yeah, I mean, well, 21 Savage is kind of just a one-trick pony. Yeah, if I'm being honest. Like, I enjoy 21 Savage a lot. I like him. He just has that cold delivery every time. I saw him in concert. Not as lit seeing it live. Oh, 100%. Not as lit seeing that guy just, you know, saying cold liveliest. Delivery every time. But I think I personally really like that song. It's very high on my list.
I liked it. It's high energy. It's just like I listen to it now and I just kind of, it sounds kind of poppy to me. It sounds kind of... Basic
track. Poppy. I didn't think it was poppy.
No.
But wild, at 16, I had Houston Fornication.
See, that's where I think you're kind of wild in.
You liked Houston
Fornication? Dude, Houston Fornication.
It's something for... It's just like... I've listened to that album a good amount of times now. Not as much recently, just because, like, you know, you get through it.
Yeah.
But, like, for some reason, every time that song comes on, I can't even remember the title. So, like... That just says to me that maybe it just isn't doing that much for me. I can't remember like which song it is when it comes out.
I feel the exact same way about that song. It's not 16 for me. It's 15. My 16's Butterfly Effect. Just because, it already came out way before the album. It feels like he put it on here just to boost streaming numbers. Because the way streaming works, if you add a song that went platinum, your album's platinum.
Everyone's doing that. Migos with Motorsport.
Yeah.
Drake, God's Plan, all that.
So it was kind of annoying that he put it on there. I don't hate the song by any means.
I thought Watch should have been on it.
What'd you say?
I thought Watch was gonna be on
that. Yeah, that would have made a lot more sense.
But,
honestly,
but I'm happy they didn't because it just didn't fit the vibe.
Yeah, true.
It didn't fit the vibe. When you're a club and that comes on, you used to see the way people act. They go crazy.
So now we'll go 15. My 15 was Houston Fornication for the same reasons you said, Pro, where it just wasn't memorable compared to the rest of the album, but. OCL?
I put Yasmit for 15, even though that Nav verse was amazing. I'm being sarcastic.
I was about to say.
15, yeah. I have Coffee Bean.
Okay, I respect that too.
It's just kind of like a... I like it though, like I can't lie. Like
it's a good ass like outro. Vibe.
I like the song. I didn't like it as an outro. It just felt anticlimactic to me.
Really? I kind of like that. Cause
I remember you... Oh, you weren't with me when I first bumped it, but then like... At the end, when it kind of ended, like, and we were like, "What? That was the ending."
Yeah.
So that's I see what you mean. Like, that's probably the same. Like,
I felt.
What were you saying, OCL?
I was just gonna say like it was nice to hear him like kind of take on a slower beat.
Right. I don't think there was auto tune on that one really either, except for like the background.
He turned off the auto tune quite a bit.
More than I expected.
Yeah,
and definitely more than I expected.
I'm glad he did too.
Sorry, but so you said Yasmite.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yasmite, man. Nav is just a meme now because
Yosemite?
Of that song.
Yeah.
I don't know how to pronounce
Yosemite.
It, bro. Yosemite. He said Yasmite, so I said Yasmite.
Travis would pronounce it as Yasmite.
Let's ask him.
But yeah, so now we're 17. 14. What'd you have, bro?
I'd Butterfly Effect at 14.
Okay.
I'd Butterfly Effect.
Because, I don't know. This is always just a good, it's been out for a while, like you said. And it has good energy, even though it's like kind of like a background song. It's old, but
I put it at the same spot. It just sounds kind of washed off to me now, but like still like a wave. Yeah.
One thing I'm not 100% sure if I'm right about this, but I remember listening to it on the album. I believe he changes the ad libs in the second verse from the version that was already out. I think he took some out.
He might have, but I...
It sounded... Honestly, something about it sounded differently on
the
album.
If I'm being real with you, anytime I see it in the album, I just skip it, just because I know exactly how it sounds, and you got to save time with a 17-song album.
I agree.
But pretty much, we've been... My 14, by the way, is Yosemite. Yosemite or Yosemite. Somebody somebody tweeted us to correct me. But that's my 14. So we're pretty much on the same page. I think we all had we all had Who What, Butterfly Effect, and Yosemite in our bottom four, correct? Yeah. You just you went out of the blue. Yosemite is not my bottom four. Oh, never mind. Pro didn't have Yosemite, and then had NC-17 in your bottom four, which I'm really surprised.
Nah, you guys had Houston Fornication.
Yeah, I had I had Houston Fornication in my bottom four too, but you didn't OCL, correct?
No, I didn't.
So we're like we're kinda on the same page, couple differences.
Yeah.
Next at 13, I had Coffee Bean. What'd you have, OCL?
I had R.I.P. Screw.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
I had Skeletons.
Okay. Wow. Honestly, I didn't expect that one to be that low. Why? Why'd you have it that low?
Yeah, bro. I know. I feel like I know why he has it that low. But like,
really? Yeah. I mean, to me, it's a good... I like how like dramatic it is and everything.
Yeah.
But it just sounded like a Kanye song to me. Which, there's nothing wrong with that.
The whole thing was... I don't know. The whole instrumental was done by Tame Impala.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys know.
He did the whole instrument?
The whole instrument.
I've heard him. Credited. People have told me about him since the album. I still haven't listened to their album yet.
I listened to their album. They're like completely different genre. They're like psychedelic, modern, rock. And like, I think the way he handled that instrumental and approached it to like, where like, you know, you still got those boom bap, you know, rock, drums, classic, you got guitar and everything. But like, you know, you can still rap, you can still, you know, play around with your auto-tune on it and still, like, flow.
I love the intro and outro on that song. Like, with,
yeah, the outro is beautiful.
It has Pharrell's vocals, Tame Impala's vocals, and The Weeknd, and they're all just, you know, singing, like, the background vocals. Yeah. It sounds amazing, like, some heavenly stuff. But, that being said, your reason for having it that low was, what again? Because it was, like, a Kanye?
I mean, I said it sounded like a Kanye song. Yeah. It's not even that that's bad. Right. Yeah. Obviously, like, I don't know, but...
All of it gives it kind of, like a poppy ring to it, too. Like, I can see it, like, being played on the radio and stuff like that.
I did give me kind of those, like, vibes. Yeah. I agree with that.
But I think The Weeknd just kind of gives me those vibes now a little bit, too. Just
he's on everybody's thing. So, like, later, because, you know, Frank Ocean and The Weeknd are on this, one thing in the article that I was writing of ranking these, I was talking about how you decide... Which one do you put above the other, Frank Ocean's feature or The Weeknd's? Just because like they're so special in their voices, you know how known they are.
Facts.
But the biggest thing that I notice as a difference is The Weeknd's on everybody's stuff, while Frank Ocean's is so rare. But we'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
What was your 13, OCL?
My 13 was R.I.P. Screw.
That's what she said. Yeah.
It just didn't carry a lot of energy for me.
I think that song sounds exactly like, or the beat sounds exactly like Post Malone, Zach, and Codeine.
The thing. I haven't even listened to any song on Post Malone's album, so
it does sound very Post Malone-y now that you say it.
But go after this, go and listen to those like back to back. You'll notice very similar like instrumentals. But yeah, mine was Coffee Bean, and you kind of already spoke. We already spoke on how it was just like an anticlimactic outro. That was really all it was for me. It's not bad. I also think Travis could have written better for that because
I was thinking that too. Yeah, I didn't want to say it.
When you don't have the auto tune on, it kind of exposes, you know, what Travis can do. And I feel like he was trying to tell what's going on in his life, but he didn't explain it enough for us to really grasp anything.
No, I know what you mean. I can tell. Yeah, you can tell kind of what he was trying to go for, like. Closing out of an album, like a little bit more personal, but like his lyricism,
just a little too vague, you know what I mean?
Didn't meet up there.
So that was 13. Now we're at 12. What'd you have, bro?
I have Yosemite.
Okay,
that's what I'm calling it. All right, I have Yosemite at 12.
OCL,
I put Carousel down.
Oh, really?
Wow,
yeah, it's just like it's very good, and like Travis does rap, but like it's a little bit too loud for me. And Frank Ocean's feature, like, although it was good, like. I kind of would have wanted a little bit, something more soulful, a little bit more like Frank, not really just kind of him like on a distorted, like, you know, effect.
Honestly, that's a very good point, because with me, I saw Frank Ocean and immediately got starstruck. Like the second I heard Frank Ocean, like I couldn't imagine me listening to Frank and critiquing. So that's why I'll admit that's pretty high on my list. But the points you just made are very valid. I thought they didn't really, you know, blend too well on that. I thought Travis didn't.
Well, I feel like they were always. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut.
Yeah, no,
I feel like they were always like. I kind of wanted to hear them together. Like they were always in their own separate sections of the song. But I still really like that song.
I enjoy it too. It's up there, but I'm glad that you said something because it made me think about it a little bit more.
Yeah, it's a little long too. A little like, you know, like it's a great song, but like when I think of, like, song structure, like, that one just kind of, like, jumps straight into it.
Right.
And then, you know, there's some dips.
Plus, but yeah, that instrumental isn't little, too wild either compared to a lot of the other ones.
Skeletal, a little bit repetitive. Not repetitive, like, in that sense, but yeah.
I know what you mean. For my, what are we, 13, right? 13.
We're
12. 12? Okay. 12, I had 5% Tent. Which I, before we even get into it, I love this song.
Oh. Like, that one grew on me heavy out of nowhere. Like, at first I was like, yeah, it's kind of whatever. Yeah. But now, right now, it's one of my
The beat is, like, so raw.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably one of the better beats on the album. And yeah. And Travis, I think he did really good on it.
I love the way he goes.
But there's a lot of other options for me. And that's the only reason why it's lower. Yeah. But we'll go to 11 now. What'd you guys have?
I have NC-17 at number 11.
Okay.
I put Stargaze in there for number 11.
Okay. You wanna? My 11 is R.I.P. Screw. So we're definitely starting to differ.
Really
starting
to mix up, yeah.
Which is, I think that's kind of how it's gonna be with an album like this.
Yeah.
All
because every song is so different.
Yeah. Every song is good in its own right in a different way. For me, besides What Now, I just don't like that. Or What, Who, what? I don't like, Who, what? What? Yeah. I don't care. I don't like that song. But other than that, I like just about every song in this album, so it really doesn't matter where you rank these as long as you have a reason behind it. Yeah. So, why did you choose NC-17?
Well, it's a really good song. The beat is like, I like the bounce in it. It's
reminds
like
me of Without Warning.
Yeah.
The beat. It could have easily been on that project.
Yeah, that's a good point now that you mention it. Very, but Savage had a great verse on it. Like, great.
Yeah.
Because Savage is hard. And you didn't like Travis's hook, but I loved it. I thought it was like...
I love it, but he sounds like Young Thug.
Yeah, I agree.
I just the lyrics when it comes to me, like, it's just kind of cringy. Like, I was playing that, like, at work, and all you hear is like...
But that's, I feel like that's the kind of vibe they wanted, just that, like, I don't give a kind of vibe.
True. Yeah.
No, you're right. No, the song still, like, absolutely smacks. It's just, like, it was a little simplistic for me when I brought it around, like, the other songs.
Yeah, that's fair. And you had...
I had Stargazing.
Okay.
Like
the intro.
Yeah. Like, it just now I listen to it, it just sounds kind of like an intro track. Like, I wish he could have done more on, like, the first half of it, you know, that spooky, like, spacey vibe. I wish he could have done more rapping instead of, like, just kind of, you know, doing the hook over again. Even though, like, that high-pitched part that he has, like, it's crazy. Like, I haven't heard anything like that. Or, like, I haven't heard anyone, like, kill something like that, like a falsetto. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I have Stargazing as number 10, so we're pretty much in the same spot on that. I like Stargazing. I think it's a good intro. I think it works perfectly. It reminds me of, what was the intro for Birds in the Trap?
The Ends.
Yeah, The Ends. It reminds me of that, where he starts with the singing, with his autotune and all the crooning and stuff, and you're like, sounds like Travis, and then he hits you with the rapping, and I think that's an ideal intro. But at the same time, I feel like the beat switch could have been crazier.
Yeah, the beat switch could have been crazier.
It was just like...
I actually have Stargazing pretty high on my list. And I know it was one of the... I'm pretty sure it was leaked before the album and, like, everyone heard it.
He was, like, performing it.
But I chose not to listen to it because I just kind of wanted to hear it with the album.
Yeah,
so it's, like,
it
new to me.
Yeah.
So I just say I enjoyed it a lot. I like the beat. I know it's not, like, the transition is anything crazy, but I like that it switches to that beat, and I like the way it goes on that beat.
We can talk about once we're wherever you have it ranked, you can kind of defend why it's so high later. So, and then I had R.I.P. Screw there for the Zach and Codeine reason. I thought it sounded too similar. And Sway Lee, he gave 4 bars, and those might have been the laziest 4 bars you could possibly come up with.
Sway Lee, man, Sway Lee's been kind of like going a little bit like, you know, like,
he just takes advantage of his voice.
Yeah, he's losing a lot of his energy. Like, Unforgettable was amazing, but then they dropped their tape, which was a kind of a disaster.
Yeah, I personally didn't like his section on the tape on Shrimp Life 3, just because, same thing with these 4 bars, I don't think he writes his lyrics, and it's kind of obvious, and he just knows.
But you think he just goes in the booth? And
His voice is just so good that he could really say anything, and you're going to be like, wow, that sounded pretty nice. Yeah. Like, I think he does his own audio engineering, so I'll give him credit for how good he sounds.
Really?
Him and Slim Jimmy. I saw in an interview, they do their own audio engineering.
Honestly, they don't come off as smart enough to be doing that stuff to me.
Hey,
they're rich for a reason.
Yeah, so for that reason, I didn't love this song. There are things I really do love about it, but not enough to have it higher than 11.
Yeah.
So now... We're at top 10.
Yep.
I had Stargazing at 10. What'd you have, OC?
I had Coffee Bean at 10.
And
I have Wake Up at 10.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh, bro.
Defend that, because...
I need water, because my throat's...
Yep. Yep, we'll wait.
You're just scared.
You have to defend that, because I think you're very wrong on that one, but we'll see. That Agua.
Well, when the first few times I heard it, it was like top three. Mm-hmm. Because it was like, wow, Travis is really like trying something new, and it's like a good, like, not ballad, but it's like a poppy little like
the record. Song structure was very well,
yeah, but the more I listen to it, it's just kind of too, it's not really what I want to hear from Travis, I guess, personally. It's like kind of too like emotional and stuff, and like I guess I want him to do it, because like obviously like he can do whatever, but not, because it's like a weekend song.
Yeah, it definitely feels more like a weekend.
But I want to hear Travis. That kind of stuff in his own way.
Yeah.
Like those songs, like that song with those songs with the Weeknd, like Skeletons and Wake Up, like I listened to those and I feel like he was kind of trying to go for like radio kind of hits.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, more family, like friendly hits. Cause like, even if you look at the producer, someone like Frank Dukes, like, who like, you know, like when I listen to that guitar, I already know he did the guitar and those drums. And like he does a lot of like huge pop songs. Like he did
John Mayer, like, I think, produced Camilla this Cabello. One too. Or he,
you know, he did Astro Thunder.
Oh yeah, you're right.
And so like this guy, like Frank Dukes, like he's big. He's big on like a lot of the Weeknd's like big songs. Like pretty much any rapper that you're seeing now. And like I just kind of listen to that beat and like listen even to the way that Travis comes in. Like it sounds kind of like a little bit poppy, but like it's just like the emotions and the instrumentals, and like these are two like dark artists. You know, they're usually like on the more moody bass heavy stuff. Hearing them on something like this, like it was a like a change of pace, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I love that song. Yeah. But we'll talk about, what'd you have at 10 again, OCO?
I had Coffee Bean at 10.
Coffee Bean, which we've already discussed.
Yeah, we already talked about it, you know. Just
what,
a cool outro.
What had you rank it higher than what we had it at? Because we both, Pro, you had a bottom four, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And we both had a bottom four.
Just seeing Travis creatively do something like new, you know, you slow down the beat. And then he just focused on his bars, and like maybe the lyricism wasn't like, you know, where it should have been, and like maybe we didn't learn a lot about him like he wanted us to, but I thought at the end of the day, like, it was a nice way to wrap up the album. It's like a cool, like, somber track, you know, just a vibe to.
I definitely like what he was going for in that track, and just because it's bottom four doesn't mean I don't like it. I gotta say that for every track, but
and that cool little outro too, like, you know, he has that little Kanye vocoder of like, you know, that kind of reminds me of My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Okay,
stuff.
Yeah. I get you. And then I had, what did I say? I had Stargazing at 10, which we already went over pretty much, so I'm not gonna get into that. 9, I had No Bystanders.
I had No Bystanders at 9 as well.
I had Astro Thunder.
Okay. Why'd you have No Bystanders at 9, OCL?
It's just like a dope track. Like you know, Travis takes off the autotune. His first verse, like that flow.
Yeah,
like,
I think that might have his best verse in the entire
album. Yeah, that verse had me, almost knocked me out. Like the way he was just like attacking that. Because he was going at it his own way. Like I can't remember hearing a flow like that. Juice WRLD's feature was all right.
Yeah, it was okay.
That fuck up the club sample goes hard.
Sheck West's bitch is the hardest ad lib. It's the hardest part of the album. I don't care what nobody says. I put No Bystanders at 11, or I mean at 9, but I honestly think it should have been at 11 for me. But I moved it up just because of that ad lib. Like when I heard that ad lib, I got way too hype.
Do you think he rehearsed it? Or do you think he just...
Oh, he definitely... It? No, one take that.
One take.
All he said was like, one take. All he said, if you have to do more than one take to say bitch, it's a problem.
You think he stayed around to finish, to hear the song finished, or do you think he just left right away? I would have left right away.
I would have... Like, I'm not going to wait. If you're asking me just to say bitch, like I'm not going to wait for you to finish the song, and I'm not going to get a verse.
Yeah, me either.
But, I like that song. Juice WRLD's...
I like Juice WRLD's part.
I don't... It's not that I don't cool. like Juice WRLD's part. It just... It kind of doesn't... It doesn't connect with the rest of the song to me.
I agree. Lyrically, it kind of didn't. I was like they're talking about love and shit, but they're talking about fucking the club up.
Like, that I didn't get. I guess the whole, it works in the regard that it feels like it's just one big party, and, you know, Juice WRLD might be in a different section of the party, and like, that's kind of how you could look at it, but they definitely don't connect, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Why'd you choose Astro Thunder at, what are we at, 9?
Yeah.
Pro.
I thought it was just cool. It has good vibes on it.
One of my favorite.
I believe is it Thundercat on that too.
And yep, like,
I
always love his work.
That little like if you listen to it with headphones, like that little sample, that like little drop, that like little, it sounds like a pin dropping.
What the panning like?
Yeah, moves. The panning, it like pans in your ears. Yeah. It sounds crazy.
Yeah, that was probably one of my favorite beats. Like that one, if you had to describe any song as, like, I guess, stoner music, like, that's the one right there. Like,
it's like that druggy. You could listen to that
beat all day.
That druggy, like, tire trap.
Right. And now we're at 8.
Yeah.
What'd you guys have for number 8?
I had Sicko Mode.
Okay.
I can't say.
Both of those I had in my top 5. So, we're going to have to talk. And I had Skeletons. Oh, no, I had Astro Thunder. Astro Thunder is my 8. Okay. So, why?
That's the thing. Like, once we're at this point, I, like, love all of these songs.
Yeah.
Like, can't say I love that song. I think Don Toliver's verse is Don so Tolliver, hard.
Right. I think his verse, that's so one of the hardest verses on the album, in my opinion.
Man, I love that guy.
I just, John Aguilera just, like, started putting me onto that. So, I listened to, what,
Donnie Womack.
Yeah, Donnie Womack. I was like on
Travis Scott's like Reddit thing, and he kind of popped up because like Travis was posting like him on his story and stuff like that. And like for the minute I heard him, I was like, dude, this guy's voice is just like on another level.
Just it's unique. Signed. I love how unique it is.
Yeah.
Just got signed to Cactus Jack Records yesterday, officially.
Really?
Yeah, like officially yesterday.
It's weird though that he kind of blew up because he's not one of those SoundCloud rappers. Like he has that Donnie Womack tape and like maybe 5 or 6 other like singles, but. Mm. He's originally signed to Atlantic, so someone just found him, and I think they kind of just pushed him onto trap because he's from Houston.
Yeah, I was about to say he's from Houston too, so that's kind of the advantage he had. But yeah, his verse goes hard. I like that track because I'll say that's top. I think that's number 4 for me.
I think it's one of the best hooks on the whole album.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think Travis and Don Toliver, they sound like twins on that. Like the way they both execute that
big brother,
like,
little brother.
Yeah, kind of, it's like they both execute that hook so perfectly, and it's almost like almost in sync the way they both do the hooks.
I think that just says a lot about Travis's mind, like when it comes to his music too. Like I think he knows what.
Yeah,
sound
he knows who he wants.
He knows what sound he wants. Right. So like I think he found this guy. He probably already had this track. Maybe he even had his own verse. Maybe it was just going to be a solo track. And, like, he just kind of listens to them, puts 2 and 2 together, ends up making something way greater than, like, if it was just him on it.
Right. And OCL, you had...
It's Sicko Mode.
You're wild. Explain how you have Sicko Mode not in your top 5.
I really like that. I really like this song. And when I was ranking when I was making my list, I was kind of, like, playing it off, like, am I going to do this off, like, the songs, you know, that, like, I got stuck in my head and I'm playing to all the time? Or, like, am I going to actually sit down here and, like, rank each song, like, best, you know, worst from best? And for me, Sicko Mode, like, dope intro, dope beat switches, like, that Take Heath beat at the end. Like, yeah, like, it's regular old Take Heath, but, like, Drake and Take Heath, they're going to it up. So, like, obviously, like, they 100% both of them completely killed that song. But for me, like, I think, like, it was impressive. It just wasn't as great as like what I have ahead of it for me.
I don't know, man.
I mean, I like that they do all the beat switches, but like, again, I feel like the transitions, like, I feel like it just goes
big. Yeah, like, it definitely that, was just kind of snap.
First one was kind of like snap. The second one was a little bit better. Like, it kind of slowed down. It sounded like a rocket ship was about to take off.
And yeah. I like those switches. I know they were abrupt, but it felt like what they did was they had 3 different songs they put together in like a mashup, and it works because like you hear Drake at the beginning, it's almost like you're teasing the listener. You're like, whoa, Drake's on this. Then we go to Travis for like 2 minutes. He has a hard verse in my opinion for Travis. I love the "she thought it was the ocean, but it's the pool." I love that line. Love that line. And then the "put this together."
Speaking of lines, me and you both love this line. And even though I believe it's on Who What.
Oh, yeah.
That's our least favorite song.
Yeah.
That's one of the best lines. And she's like,
oh, you got to say the line. They don't
know. It's like, I smack that and throw it back. That's self-defense. Yeah. I don't know how it goes.
Yeah. That's one of the best lines. That's one of Travis's probably 5 best lines in the album. Too bad it was on that song because I don't even listen to that song that much. But what did I have at 8? I had Skeletons. So at this point, I have I'm just going to say my next 3. I have Skeletons, followed by Carousel, followed by Wake Up. And I just wanted to keep The Weeknd and Frank Ocean's songs in the same place. And I felt like this was kind of where it was at because I really enjoyed all 3 of those songs.
Yeah.
So I just had Skeletons there. It's not that I didn't like the track. I just had it at, what are we at, 8?
Yeah.
It ended up falling at 8 for me. But let's go to 7 now. What'd you guys have?
I have Sicko Mode at 7.
So I'm the only one. This track. All right.
We've already just talked so much about it.
I had Skeletons at 7, like, you know, really unique. Like, it's crazy that, like, someone like Travis Scott worked with Tame Impala.
Yeah.
But like, and like, it's a very strong track. It kind of reminds you of like a little interlude, sort of.
Yeah, I agree. Because
there's not like a solid hook and a solid verse, you know, it just kind of floats, but very nice.
Very true. And then I had Carousel at number 7 for me. Carousel, we talked about this earlier as well. I liked it. The more I think about it, it definitely could have been better. Yeah. Just when you have Frank Ocean and Travis Scott, two musical geniuses, it definitely, yeah. as we said, you know, it could have mixed better. But I still enjoyed it a lot to put it up this high.
Mm-hmm.
What we have at 6?
5% tint for me.
I also have 5% tint.
So I'm wrong now. I'm in the wrong on this one. So tell me why I'm wrong to have 5% tint as I had it at like 12.
It's like the beat is like unique, you know. It's like
obviously it just like hits so hard. It just like hits it gives so you that hard. Like angry kind
and of. And it's like the perfect beat that you would imagine someone like Travis Scott on, you know, with like his dark raspy voice, like on something like that.
The ad libs on that song are beautiful too.
Very true.
The hook is tires me a little bit. He's just like, what's he say again? He's like, who's that?
It's a reference. I can't remember. It's a reference.
Yeah, it's a reference to an old. I saw that, but like it just kind of sounded like. Once again, like, not that it's a bad thing, but it sounded like kind of like he wanted like a little bit of a radio hit from that too.
Mm-hmm. And I had, did I already say? Wait, what are we on?
You went through your three, like yeah, your next so, three.
Are we at 5 or 6?
What's 6?
Oh, okay. Then it's Wake Up for me. Or no, it's Carousel. No. It's Carousel. It's Carousel. So and I already talked about that, so we can just go right to. 5? What'd you guys have?
So, like,
five?
I'm the only one that has R.I.P. Screw in the top 5. Yeah. Because that's what I have at 5. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe because I haven't heard that Zach and Codeine song.
Yeah, that's
like,
really
I just really
the
like the beat on R.I.P. Screw. I enjoyed Swae Lee's verse. I just liked it was like kind of a slow vibe. For me, it's like, I don't know, so much of it is like the way it makes me like feel.
I love the engineering on that song. I think the background vocals and with the, oh my God, I just can't feel the love. I can't do, obviously, I don't have the auto-tune. Yeah. But I love all that in the background. I just thought what was in the forefront wasn't as good as a lot of stuff, a lot of the other songs in the album.
Yeah.
And what'd you have at 5, OCL?
I had Wake Up at 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're on the same page.
Yeah. I love the Weeknd's voice. Mm-hmm. It sounds like he's almost like on that little like bridge that he has, and then when he transitions back to the verse, it almost sounds like he's about to cry. You can tell like how much effort and like emotion he's just putting in that studio.
Yeah. I love how Travis and the Weeknd, they alternate who sings the hook.
Yeah.
Like the Weeknd sings the first hook, then it goes Travis verse, then Travis hook, then Weeknd verse. I love the structure to that. I think that's, if you're going to do a collab, like that's kind of like the perfect way to do it. But yeah, that song, very, I guess, beautiful is probably the best adjective I could give on that. I just really like the tone of that song. 4. Get into the big ones. What do you have, bro?
I have Stargazing at number 4.
Okay.
Okay.
I just like how epic that song is.
It definitely, like, for an intro, it's a very good intro. It just really depends on how high you were on, you know, the transition and both.
And literally how high you were when you were listening
to it. OCL?
I put Astro Thunder at 4 for
okay.
me. I'm like an OG Travis fan, like, because I was a huge Kanye, like, fan, and then, like, you know, I started hearing about Travis, like, you know, being associated with Kanye. Listen to, like, Owl Pharaoh, Days Before Rodeo, and, like, Astro Thunder for me just reminds me so much of those old tapes where he would just, you know, just have, like, this big, like, dark beat and just go in on it by himself, too. It's a solo track.
Yeah.
And I like that, too, that it's a solo track, and, like, you know, it's a crazy dope instrumental. He has help from Thundercat, John Mayer, so, like, it's just very, like, it's a vibe.
I think that's his best solo track on the entire album, probably. Yeah. Either that or 5% Tent, and I personally just love the beat for Astro Thunder better, so.
Yeah.
I can see why you have it top 5. I had, for number 4, I had Can't Say, which we already talked about. I just love the fact that Travis and Don Toliver just sound so similar. But that's my opinion of why it's at 4. Number 3, what do you guys have?
Houston Fornication.
You're wild. You're wild.
They're like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what you guys are listening to, but like, I listen to that song, dude, and he just raps on it. The beat's dope. He's rapping about, you know, Houston, his origins, getting a little bit more personal. It's a solo track too. So, I mean, like, I know why you guys might be a little bit underwhelmed by it, but I think, like, when we look at this, when we look back at this album in the future, we kind of look at his solo tracks and, like, look at how creative and different those sound.
Why just the solo ones?
I'm not saying, like, just the solo ones, but, like, I'm saying, like, you know, like, without any help, like, let's just see what Travis can do. Let's see what he can do on a track, you know?
Yeah. Hopefully it grows on me. That's probably been my least played track.
Yeah.
And it's not my least favorite by any means. I had it at 15. So it's not that it was the worst song on the album, but it was just the least memorable to me, in my opinion. But my number
three
is NC-17. 21 kills it. Wow. 21 murders that verse.
He does, he does.
And I love the way Travis sounds. I know he sounds like Young Thug on it, but I know you said you didn't like the... me and my... we like the same sex. I love his delivery on that. I love it. So that's why I have it there. The beat's also perfect. Perfect beat for 21.
Yeah.
Perfect beat. But what was
true, like you said, it sounded like with that one.
Yeah. And you said your three was what, Pro?
I didn't say it yet. Oh, okay. But my number three is No Bystanders. And some of it is off, like... anticipation, like I'm waiting when I'm at just like I'm in a lit situation and that song comes on, like I know how hype I'm gonna be, you know what I'm saying? And that's like one of the reasons why I have it that high.
I love how the drums come in on the club up.
Yeah,
like the club up.
I agree. Yeah, that song, I can't wait to hear that one at a party. Honestly, I know you guys didn't have it ranked as high as me because I haven't even told you where mine is. But Sicko Mode, I want to hear that at a party. Like, I just want to hear that ending part, the out like a light.
That probably just.
I want to hear that too, but I feel like it's hard to play that at a club.
It is a long
song. I see them as just skipping straight to the Take Heath.
Yeah,
and then just Drake's verse, and then maybe like a minute of Travis's verse, and then faded out. Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, like we can see because like. The album, like, kind of just came out. People are starting to, like, find out what songs they like. Like,
it's the number one song on Genius right now.
Yeah. It's like, the club bangers that, like, will be the
no bystanders on Billboard.
No.
The
Sicko Mode. Yeah, Sicko Mode. It's the number one, like, search lyrics. I was on Genius today when I was reading the lyrics and I saw that. But number two. What do you guys have?
Carousel.
I can't say.
So, we all have the same number one.
Yeah.
That's what I just said. My number two is Sicko Mode. So let's all defend our number two spots, Pro.
Well, Frank is like my number one artist of like all time. So whenever he does something, I know you're maybe like we had our issues with like their collab together, but still, if it's Frank, I like.
Yeah, I mean it was number six for me. I just have
to love it.
Like, yeah, don't think I hated the song. It was number six. I just thought it could have been better.
Oh, and I agree with that, but like. Again, like, I just can't argue with Frank.
Yeah.
That's just me at the end of the day.
And OCL?
For me, can't say it number two just because I love auto-tune singing.
Yeah.
Even though, like, some people think, like, you know, like, oh, that just means you don't have talent, you need auto-tune. Like, no, like, you need talent to sound fire.
It's an instrument. Yeah, it's an instrument. Like, if you don't know how to use auto-tune, you're going to sound like an idiot that just put auto-tune on your voice just because you can easily, like, they're, like, 13-year-olds that make their rap songs using auto-tune, and you're like... what are you doing?
Yeah.
So.
No, it's not, and like, obviously Travis is professional with auto-tune, and like, Don Toliver just puts so much soul and singing into that. Like, it sounds like beautiful. It doesn't even sound like a trap song. And those drums too, like the way they hop in like mid-verse. Like,
yeah. I love the guitar at the production is just, it sounds like some grunge at the beginning. I love that. But my number two, Sicko Mode, I gotta defend it since everyone wants to hate on it. Like,
Drake hypebeast.
No, I'm not a Drake hypebeast, but I'm about to sound like one. I don't care. This is the first time Drake's been on a Travis album. Like, that, it just felt big.
Yeah,
like,
I didn't realize.
It felt like Travis finally cashed in on, what did he do for, Portland. Company? For Company.
Yeah, and Portland.
And Portland. It felt like he finally cashed in his chips and he was like, I'm about to make an epic song with Drake. And for me, it's got three parts to it.
Yeah.
It's really got three songs.
So really, it is so creative.
Yeah, and Travis could have easily fell to the background in this. Easily. Yeah. But his middle verse, hard. The pool line, the put it together like the glue. There's a lot of lines there. And I just love how it's structured. Like that beginning part, that beat at the beginning when Drake comes in on it, I love that beat. It just feels epic to me. Yeah. That's why I had it number two.
That intro was crazy.
And then We all have the same number one. Because it is number one. There's no arguing. We had at number one, Stop Trying to Be God, which features Stevie Wonder on harmonica, Kid Cudi humming, and what's that other guy's name?
James Blake.
James Blake, who is a British singer.
He's a British... He's a British singer, but uses a lot of techno, like electronic music, and a lot of... not a lot of auto-tune, but like some of his tracks have a lot of auto-tune. His voice is like... very spread out stereo. And Blonde, Frank Ocean Blonde, he had a huge influence. He has a ton of credits on there. And like, you can just hear it because a lot of his music is very similar to like what Blonde is. Like, it's not like a typical strong song structure, like chorus, verse, chorus, bridge, something like that. It's kind of like a, you know, it's like a little, like, it's like a little journey. You know, you start off kind of slow, you build up, you know.
And that's, that's a good way to describe it. Yeah. And that's how Stop Trying to Be God is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got. The beginning, you don't hear the harmonica yet. You hear, you know, Kid Cudi humming, and you hear...
Cudi's humming did it for me.
Yep. No, the moment that really got me is right after the first verse, when you hear the harmonica come in with the humming.
Yeah.
Like, I went to another planet. I was taken to another dimension on that one alone. And then the outro, that's the best outro to a song I've heard in a while. Just
definitely with, maybe this year.
Yeah. With Blake singing and then the harmonica going...
And then thematically too, like the name of the song, Stop Trying to Be God, and what he's rapping about. Yeah. Like, he's talking about all these like, you know, like huge people who think they're God, aka Kanye. And then like,
whoa. Yeah.
I didn't think of it as shots towards Kanye. I thought of it as just like fame in general, but you have a
Else, like everyone's like, yeah, like everyone's like famous like that, but like Kanye is like the only person who like considers himself a god who speaks and carries himself that way. You know, he
has a song called I Am a God.
Yeah. Featuring God. So like
that kind of now that you mention it, like it seems like it seems like a direct sub.
And it's kind of weird that Kanye like made no, I mean, I'm happy too that Kanye made no appearance because Travis Scott is already so influenced by him. But you know, it's kind of weird that like him and Kanye are literally family.
Yeah, I didn't see Kanye promoted
like,
either.
No, they live like right next to each other, I guarantee. And
married
like,
or have kids with the same family.
And like Kanye's why Travis is like, you know, big. Like he gave him that huge kickstart.
Yeah.
And for him not to be on like basically like his biggest album to ever have come out, because you know now he has the fame and the popularity and the Kylie Jenner.
Very true.
What'd you guys think of the music video?
I haven't watched it yet.
What music video?
The Stop Trying to Be God music video.
You're lying.
It came out at least yesterday.
It came out yesterday.
I don't know when it came out. Maybe 2 days ago.
Oh, yeah. I think it might have been 2 days ago.
Wow. Yo. It awaits an ankle break.
Yeah, we sucked at preparing.
Yo. So nobody thought to text me?
I thought you knew.
Honestly, I would have I'm
texting y'all to prep for the podcast. I say, yeah, watch the J. Cole video. No one thought to say, hey, what about the Travis Stop Trying to Be God
video?
I
thought you would have been the first one to watch.
I thought you would.
Get a notification for it. Like, I didn't see it on Twitter.
I don't even know where I seen the video, though. It's pretty good.
And it's official?
Yeah, it's official.
What goes on in it? Tell me, like, so I haven't seen
The biggest things I remember, there's a part when Travis is literally dressed up as Black Jesus, and he sets himself on fire.
Yeah.
Kylie Jenner's, like, glowing golden in, like, a manger holding a baby. Like,
yeah, she looks like she's out of a Star Wars movie or something.
So y'all just tell me this is the most epic music video
James
of all
Blake
time.
Is in the video,
He's
too.
In the video.
And no one thought
Stevie's
to say...
not in it.
No one thought to say, hey, Kerm, did you all watch this video? Nobody. See, I'm looking out for everybody else putting them on, but
bro,
nobody
we'll watch
puts
it tonight.
Me on.
What are you doing today? We'll watch it today.
Maybe. We'll talk later. but I wish I knew so we could add that to this end discussion, but we'll just jump into things.
Oh, one more thing about Stop Trying to Be God. Real quick. Even the way that harmonica is mixed, like all three of us kind of got like, you know, like producer, like audiophile ears. Like, you know? And even the way that harmonica is mixed, like it... Like, one, it, like, you know, pans from ear to ear. But, like, it sounds, like, a little bit more electronic, a little bit more, like, smoother. Yeah. Like, you know, they mix it so that it sounds like, you know, trap. So that sounds like hip-hop and slides in.
One thing that in my review / ranking list that I'm writing is the fact that, like, who else is going to put a Stevie Wonder harmonica on a trap beat?
It makes
no one's
so
no one's smart enough
make
it work.
Maybe Kanye, but I don't even think Kanye would do it. And, like, no one else really is big enough to even...
Drake did it on the real.
That's not a trap beat though. True. That's true. Like that. Yeah. Stevie Wonder fit that. It's fit the.
Because that was a, yeah, that was a song that could use a harmony.
Yeah, it fit perfectly. Like this, it fit perfectly, but you wouldn't have thought it would.
They made it fit. Yeah, they made it fit.
Wouldn't have thought that would have worked out. So now we'll get into kind of the final thoughts on this. My question for you guys is, now that the dust is settled, you know, it's been, what, 5 days now?
Yeah.
We're kind of dying down from the hype, I hope. Did this album live up to expectations? Because, you know, it had a two-year waiting period, yeah, and it's finally here. Did it live up to the hype?
I think it did, in the sense that I can't imagine him do it sound in any other way than it does.
Yeah.
I think he captured that vibe, that Astroworld vibe, that two-year wait. You know, I think he captured that all very well, to the point that, like, there's nothing that I can say that he should have done differently or that he should have added. Or
I agree, because, like, everyone always, like, talks about, or at least most people always talking about, like, Rodeo. Yeah. But he can't always come at it, like, the way he did with Rodeo. I feel like what he did is, like, he gave you that, like, I don't want to say mainstream, but, like, that trap vibe that you need, like he did on Birds, but he still tried to make everything more like
creative,
thematic, and like creative, like he did it on the Rodeo. And it kind
of
blends it.
I like your point. I feel like it's kind of an in between of Birds in the Trap and Rodeo. Like, it doesn't have, you know, the storytelling that Rodeo does, you know, with like Apple Pie, I Can Tell, Oh My This
Side. The production tells the story.
Yeah. But it also, it goes back to the beats he was using on Rodeo and the fact that, like, they have those transitions.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, Birds did not have transitions like that. Like, you have Way Back, that has a transition. But other than that, none of those songs, none of them really had that beat switch or anything where, like, experimental. So he kind of takes that, but it's also that kind of, I guess you could say, mainstream. Yeah. Mainstream vibe that was with Birds, where, you know, he's just making good music to party to.
No,
I think it's kind of an in-between.
On this vibe, I definitely got a little bit of those, like, kind of, like, radio mainstream vibes, but nothing that ruins him and nothing that isn't taking him further, you know? I think now we're all looking at Travis Scott like, wow, he did this, like, you know, awesome album that sounds so creative and, like, so melodic, but, like, still has those trap drums that you hear, like, not everywhere, because, like, obviously they're a little bit different, a little bit better, but, you know, like, he still puts out something that's popular right now, but also creative and, like, beautiful and, like, in his own sound, too.
Yeah, I was just about to
something
say
about, like, those, Rodeo, Eat Birds, sound. And all those is, like, those are Travis Scott's sounds. Like, he's not copying anyone, stealing anything, really.
Right.
When I listen to this album.
I agree.
Except the only thing I will kind of say is that this Travis. This is my point, but this Travis album was giving me a lot of Kanye vibes, specifically things like
Is Travis the new Kanye?
Twisted Fantasy.
Is Travis the new Kanye?
I think he's just like the modern Kanye. Like, he's doing shit with, like, Kanye was like going to old school samples and stuff like that. Travis is like making his new sounds, bringing in like people from all different genres. He has something like over 45 producers and engineers and, like, you know, like performers on this album. And,
right.
Like, it's crazy that he's curating all that, and
I think
that takes a lot.
He's
of
making something greater.
Takes
than
just
himself.
As much effort as like writing lyrics and stuff like that.
I think this album proves like Travis is probably the best curator in hip hop. At least like you got to at least give him that tag. If you're not gonna say he's the best rapper, even if you don't want to say he's the best voice in trap, you got to give him credit as the best curator. Like, who else is getting these collaborations?
Yeah.
Like, every beat sounds expensive.
Every song,
and then when you check the credits, it's got 8 producers on it, because like Travis got the right people in the right room and they made something crazy that they couldn't have made on their own, and I don't think many other people can do that. Like, DJ Khaled's a curator, but none of his albums sound like this. None of them sound like so seamless and so like thought out.
Yeah.
So creative and
And my final question is, where does Astroworld rank amongst all of Travis's albums, his entire discography? There we go.
Well, it's still too soon. I'm not going to, like...
I was going to say, yeah.
My thing is that it's at least number 3. Because, like, obviously Al Farrell's great, but, like, that's
it's
his first project. Obviously, he's going to... So, it's better than that because, obviously, the production, the mixing, everything is greater. He's obviously grown as an artist. What's after that? In my opinion, Days Before Rodeo would probably be next, which is still great. But, again, as far as, like, the mixing and everything, like... As far as, like, the quality, like, sound-wise of everything, it's just, it's Birds, it's Astroworld, and it's Rodeo. So that's why it's at least number 3, because those are the top, as far as, like, the clearness and everything of the sound.
Yeah.
OCL?
For me, like, once again, like, the amount of listening to his other albums is, like, it's still way more than a list to Astroworld. But for me, like, it's just a new direction. I don't want to say it's better than Rodeo, cause I don't want to say Rodeo is better than this. But like Astroworld is just something like I've never heard before, and I think it's like a good successor to Rodeo.
I honestly feel like it's not. I don't feel like he like. I don't think it's. What did you just say? I'm sorry. I'm kind of losing my thought. I don't think it's like something new. Honestly, I don't think like he like did anything like.
Well, if you look at a song like "Stop Trying to Be God" and a song like "Skeletons" and "Wake Up," that's new for Travis.
Yeah,
I guess
that's so. Unheard of for Travis.
But like he's like. I guess production wise, but like he still sounds like Travis, you know what I mean? Like he doesn't like
try to do a point where
as
I'm
far
like,
as his vocal, like I guess performance, he doesn't sound like he's doing anything new.
Yeah,
which is good in my opinion. It right. just sounds more enhanced, I guess.
Yeah. For me, I gotta say it's minimum three, as you said, Pro. But I honestly want to put it at two. I think because for me, I think Rodeo is better than Birds. And I think this might be better than Birds. But I got to give it time. Yeah. I got to give it real time. But for me, it's just how dynamic the beats are. That's what really makes me want to put it at number two. And check back with me in 6 months. Maybe it'll be number one. It just really depends on how much I like this album in the next 6 months. But right now, I could say it's two.
You think you can get a Grammy off this one?
I don't see why not, but it's because he doesn't have the lyricism. Like, I feel like the Grammys, like, they look for lyricism. Like, Rhapsody's album was nominated last year, which is a great album. But if you look at the albums that are usually nominated, it's not someone that...
Was it Uzi nominated?
Yeah, it's just like...
Uzi was nominated?
He had some type of... Nah, I think he was Best New Artist.
I think he might have been hip-hop or a hip-hop album like that, but he wouldn't be nominated for Album of the Year.
Oh, I didn't know we were talking about Album of the Year. I thought we were talking about hip-hop album.
Oh, it probably could get a hip-hop nomination just based on streaming numbers. Yeah. They got to put it in there.
The thing is, like, Travis Scott, like, the Grammys aren't going to look at him as, like, a winner because, like, I look at it at the fact that, like, he's kind of in that trap genre, you know? Like, it sucks for, like, trap artists because, like, the Grammys, like, aren't really going to be giving you that much acknowledgement.
And the Grammys are just always behind in who they're voting for. Like, Kendrick finally got his what he deserves with To Pimp a Butterfly, I believe.
Yeah.
When Good Kid, Mad City was a phenomenal album, too, that told a story but he lost to Macklemore. So it's kind of just like, you got to hope that he'll get his credit now, but he's probably not going to get a Grammy until his next album when he's already crossed the threshold of, you know, superstardom.
Can we talk about that a little bit? Like, what do we expect now?
From Travis
Scott, because I feel like he gave us everything that we wanted.
I don't want a project from Travis for another 2 years. I he needs to. Let me
I don't,
why.
But I do.
He, like you say now, oh, we need it next year. But if he goes next year, we're gonna get a Huncho Jack.
Yeah.
Where like he needs to have time
Facts.
To breathe
and
create something just amazing and phenomenal. That's just music genius and not just him just taking some trap beats and just, you know, putting some generic flows on it.
Man, this weight already sucks.
It's been 5 days.
Like,
need some new Travis in my veins. Because
I just know what he's going to do next. Like, he's going to have a bigger budget next time. He's going to grow. He's going to be mature. He's going to be old next time. He's gonna
he
be
said
what,
old?
Like, he's going to be, what, like 28, 29?
Yeah, he's
going to
have like a 3-year-old baby
at
that point.
Yeah, he's
going to
have a 3-year-old baby. Like, he's going to be sounding different. Like, that's why I look at
but
him.
That's okay. We're going to be older too, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. We'll expect other things.
Yeah, that's what makes it so hard for me to like compare Rodeo and Astroworld. Like, Astroworld is that new sound. That new sound is what I'm loving right now. Like, I probably said trap drums like a million times, but like, I love those trap drums.
Yeah.
Like, Rodeo, like, didn't have those trap drums. That's why, like, maybe I might look at it as a little bit, like, deeper, as a little bit more of, like, a, you know, cohesive project that, like, is a little bit more classic, while Astroworld is, like, a little bit more, like, you know, like, party vibe.
Yeah. So, I think that's going to conclude our Astroworld discussion, because we're literally at an hour right now, but we got to get in at least 3 minutes about LeBron and Donald Trump. To my ankle breaks listeners, like, that, you know, listen just for basketball, I'm sorry, but it's the off season. It's August. We had to talk about Astroworld, but we'll talk real quick about Donald Trump and LeBron James.
Can you pull up like some of the
Yeah, you think I'm not? I'm not.
I mean,
a
journalist. You didn't know about this video.
With the layout, I did my research for this morning. So I'll just kind of start giving you context. So last week, while I was on vacation, LeBron James actually opened up an elementary school. The school is called I Promise School. That's correct, right? I Promise School. To help at-risk youth in Akron, Ohio. The school promises paid tuition for its graduates, free uniforms, free breakfast, lunch, and snacks, and free transportation within 2 miles, as well as a free bike.
Free bike?
Yeah, they get a free bike. LeBron really hooked it up. And it's hard not to compare what LeBron's doing to what Donald Trump is doing in putting kids in cages when they're deporting, you know, illegal immigrants and leaving their kids here. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to compare that. And so later in the week after LeBron had this school officially start, he was interviewed on CNN. And in that interview, LeBron said he would never sit across from President Trump because of what he represents and the fact that he makes it seem like it's okay to be openly racist. Trump followed up with a tweet, and in this tweet, he said, LeBron James was just interviewed by the dumbest man on television, Don Lemon. He made LeBron look smart, which isn't easy to do. I like Mike. That was his tweet.
He said, I like Mike.
Yeah, as in Jordan at the end. It's like, that's just being petty.
Dude, he's like 8 years old.
But that's not even the biggest issue. I think, so you get called out for representing racism and you respond by being a racist?
By saying
LeBron James is dumb. What reason do you have to say that LeBron is dumb other than the fact that he's a black man?
Yeah.
Like, he has no basis behind it. He just kind of said it to say it.
He just didn't like what LeBron had to say.
Yeah. And I honestly would love to see an IQ test between Donald Trump and LeBron James. Like, I don't understand how you get away with just calling. He calls everybody dumb.
Yeah.
But this one, it just rubbed me the wrong way, probably because I'm such an NBA fan.
Drag the Cavs to the finals?
I bet LeBron could be president, but I don't think Donald Trump could do it. Exactly. LeBron doesn't
my NBA point
court.
Exactly.
But, so, yeah, that's essentially a beef. LeBron actually didn't respond to what Donald Trump said, which I think is the right thing to do. What do you guys think?
That was definitely the right thing to do. Like, when someone, like, is immature and, you know, like, someone, like, it's just Donald Trump. Like, you don't have to say much more to him. Like, you can't argue with a man like that.
Yeah, he's the type where, like, if you were to argue back, it's just you're going back and forth with an idiot. Yeah. So it's not really worth your time. You're kind of saving your energy. I think that's what LeBron did. So I only have two questions. Was LeBron James wrong for saying he would never sit down with the president? You guys' opinions?
No, definitely not. Like, one, we're like, this is America. This is a free country. Like,
yep.
You have the right to say that. You have the right to not like your political leader. So, no, I don't think LeBron James is wrong at all for saying
that. I mean, it's good to definitely put up a stand and, like, but I just feel like maybe if he would meet up, I mean, I doubt it, but, like, you never know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
if
maybe
you put in the effort to really try to work with people, who knows what could get done.
Yeah, I like how you showed the other side to that. That's definitely a valid point, but he also is totally entitled to say that. So it's not like LeBron is in the wrong for that. And exactly. My last question, sorry for my vulgarity, but is Donald Trump a bitch or is Donald Trump a bitch?
Nah, he a
he's a bitch. Yeah. All right. So that's going to conclude our episode. Just to give you guys our couple big announcements, 808s and Ankle Breaks is now on Instagram. So give us a follow, 808s_ABreaks. Also go back and follow us on Twitter. What else? Well, follow my guests on Twitter. Pro, what's your Twitter?
At @RPR_PRO.
OCL? @OVOSIEL. I need to change that username.
So yeah, follow them on Twitter. And my last big announcement, even though he's not here, not a good sign. We just added a new member to the 808s and Ankle Breaks team. My guy, you know, you might know him as Wave God if you go to UMass or you follow him on Twitter.
Goulet Jr.
Yeah, if you live in Attleboro, you might know him as Goulet Jr. You might know him, but his real name is Gashan Youssef. Gashan Youssef has been added to our team as our video editor. So with Gashan, that now gives us the opportunity to make a YouTube, which, you know, who knows? Maybe next week we'll have our YouTube ready for you. But be on the lookout for that. Definitely follow us on Instagram. We got some funny stuff for you on our Instagram, daily polls. But yeah, I think that's about it. Thank you for listening, whoever did. Follow at Moogatunes. Follow Hold My Drink Sports. I got articles on both those sites. But yeah, thanks for listening.